So I'm willing to bet most of you remember the advent of the GPS system in cars. Maybe you had someone, TomTom, I think it was. Or maybe you called your GPS Lola, like my wife's grandparents did. Every GPS system had a different voice and a different way of doing it, and it would always say rerouting, right? Well, now we have phones that do that for us, so we don't really need the GPS system, but we can still really appreciate it. I don't know about you, but I still use my GPS system even when I'm going places that I know the way to. Because there's one reason I want to use it. I want to know how long it's going to take me to get there. I want to know that ETA, right? I want to know there's going to be an end to this journey eventually. Especially when I'm driving a long way. Because you see, when I'm in the car, I'm old enough now that I'm allowed to complain about this. My back kills me sitting in a car. I can't wait to get out of the car and stretch. I can't wait for one of the kids to say, I have to go potty, because that means I get to stop and get out of the car and go to the bathroom. I can't wait for the journey to end. I can't wait for the pain to be over. I can't wait to get out of the car. Thanks be to God for GPS, right? This is why every single one of us, at some point or another, has said in our heads or in our hearts what annoys parents so often from children: are we there yet? They're just saying what we are already thinking. Are we there yet? How much longer do we have to be in this car? How much longer? And you see, that's not a new question for children. And it's not a new question that came along with cars either, because that was a prayer Israel said over and over and over again. How much longer, Lord? Are we there yet? When are you coming back to fill your temple? When will you kick out the Romans? When will we be able to be in our own land and be our own people again? How long, O Lord? You see, the season of Advent is like that. It's a long car ride full of pain and suffering. Because it connects us with the people of Israel in a time waiting for the Messiah. It connects us to that moment, that pain, that suffering, that darkness that says, how long, O Lord, are we going to be like this? When, O Lord, will we be done? When will you come back and fill your temple? When are things going to be right? And we say with them in Advent, are we there yet? What's the ETA, God? When are things going to be right? How long will we dwell in darkness? How long must we suffer? And we know darkness and suffering, right? Amen. We know what it is to hear from the doctor and get something that we don't ever want to hear ever again about someone we love. We know what it is to wake up in the morning with so many aches and pains that we're not sure whether we're actually going to get out of bed or not. We know what it is to look at the bank account and have too much month left and not enough money. We know what it is like to hear about another shooting at a school, at a movie theater, at a club, in a parking lot. We know darkness because we live in it every day. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably crying out with those people for the Messiah also, saying, how long, O Lord? How much longer? Or can we be there yet? Because I'm tired of this. And brothers and sisters, that is Advent. Advent is dwelling in the darkness and recognizing the darkness, not only out there, but in here also. Saying, you know, all of these horrible things that are happening, I've wanted to do some of them myself. Because there is still darkness in me. How long, O Lord, until you're done? How long, O Lord, must this darkness last? And the song this morning that we're reflecting on, O Holy Night, has a name that it was originally published under. You see, O Holy Night was originally composed by a French wine merchant. There's an excuse for you all to support wine merchants. Sometimes the church asks them to do something, and they do this amazing thing. This wine merchant, who wasn't particularly religious, didn't really particularly care about God, was commissioned by the church to compose a poem. And he came up with a poem. And he titled it Midnight Christians. Midnight Christians is the solemn hour, is how it begins. The solemn hour when God came into our midst. And this French poet composed this beautiful poem that 10 years later was translated into English and given the new name, O Holy Night. And if you want to read it in its French literal translation, I highly recommend it. You can find it on Wikipedia. It's very convenient like that. But Midnight Christians is this time. It's the time in the darkness, right? It's that time when the darkness transforms from no longer getting darker to getting lighter, right? That's what happens after midnight. Morning is coming. The end of the journey is near. Midnight is when everything changes in our clock. Because at that moment, day is on its way. And that is why I think this O Holy Night was originally titled Midnight Christians. Because it was in that moment that God spoke into reality something that transformed reality, that said, darkness does not win, suffering is not the final word, light has come into the world, and darkness has not overcome him. You recognize those words maybe from the beginning of John's Gospel, the story about Jesus. You see, at midnight, the song says, a child was born. A child was born in humble poverty, in a manger, celebrated by shepherds and foreigners. This humble baby would preach to the proud and the prideful and demonstrate what it is to be God's son, to be humble, to be with people. This same baby would grow and would one day proclaim that to see a brother, to see someone who is equal, regardless of their status, their race, their age, their economic place in the world, or anything else, they are a brother or a sister. As we said in the song, the one who sees a brother where once was a slave. This is the baby who was born to deliver us all from darkness into light, from slavery to sin and death to life, and life as the fullest. You see, Jesus wasn't the GPS system. Jesus was the voice that says, the end is coming, we're recalculating. God has spoken and said, there is an end, and I am it. I get the final word. The doctors don't get the final word. The guns don't get the final word. The people don't get the final word on your identity and who you are, and suffering definitely doesn't. I do, and I love you, says our God. I am with you in the darkest hour. And I will be with you even unto the end of the age, is Jesus' promise to us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. The song points to this defining moment in history where everything changes, where God who was far away and felt far away was no longer going to be far away or feel far away. Because God was going to be with us. God was going to identify with you and with I in our pain and in our suffering. No one would be too low for God to be with. No one would be in a place too dark for God to sit down and hold your hand. And this is what the song proclaims. This is why it's a holy night. It's the night that God defined God's relationship to us by empathy, by identifying with us and being down in the muck of it with us. Jesus came and dwelt among us to let us know that God was with us no matter what. O holy night, the night God revealed who God was and is and will forever be. Amen. The God who is with us. I don't know how many of you were down here last year about this time of year. Last year, this time of year, my street still had debris from Hurricane Irma that was at least this high in many places. It was a dark time for our part of the state. Couldn't see our neighbors' houses because there were dead things in the way. People weren't coming down because they didn't have houses to come to. We didn't even get to be back in this space and worshiping until the beginning of November. But people still decorated for Christmas. People still put lights up in that darkest place. And my family loaded into the car and we drove down to a place in Naples called Victoria Park. Any of you been to Victoria Park? If you've not, and you like Christmas lights, find it. It's off of Airport Pulling Road, and you can get there. We went there because our neighborhood didn't have very many Christmas lights. Nobody felt like putting Christmas lights up, even our house. We put up some. But we went down there because we were dark and we needed to know there was light. We needed to have an experience of joy in that dark place. And we went, and that neighborhood went so overboard. I mean, this year was good, but last year was insane. They cleaned out every store from lights they must have for I don't even know how many miles. And there were lights, and there was music, and there were people in the driveways celebrating together, drinking hot chocolate, maybe. Was that? And greeting us, yes. They were having so much fun. And we needed that. Because it was dark. It was Advent. And we needed Christmas. Do you hear what I'm saying? We needed to know there was still light. We needed to know there was still hope. We needed to celebrate with somebody, even if we didn't know them and we were just driving by. Christmas and the birth of our Messiah, midnight Christians. In that moment, God looked at the world and saw the darkness and said, "Enough! Don't make me come down there." And he did. Not as a punishment, but as a sign of light, a sign of hope in darkness, so that we might know that God is with us. That empathy would define God's character then and on into the future. And so, brothers and sisters, if you want to keep Christ in Christmas, learn the skill of empathy. Learn what it means to be with another person in their space. Not sympathetic to say, man, that sucks. I'm so sorry you're going through that. At least it's not as bad as it could be. That doesn't help. Empathy is getting down in the darkness with somebody, sitting down and saying, I know this sucks. I'm so sorry. Can I hold your hand? Can I be with you in this? Because that's what God did at Christmas in Jesus. I know it's dark and I know it's scary, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you in this. And so, brothers and sisters, as we seek to be God's children and God's people, we need to learn what it is to be with others. To walk with them through their struggles. Not necessarily saying anything except, I know it sucks. I know it's hard. But I'm here. I know you're afraid. I know what it feels like to be afraid, and I'm sorry. I know you're angry. I understand what it is to be angry. And I'm angry on your behalf too. Oh, holy night. The night God taught us what it is to love one another. In coming and being with us. Amen.